Okay, my first question is to Rosaria Butterfield. We are here today at another author interview at Books at a Glance. Rosaria, this is our first time with you. We appreciate your coming to be with us. Thanks a lot and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Fred. It's just a joy and a pleasure to be here with you.
My first question is actually a multiple set of questions. It's
Of
things like,
course.
first of all, why this book? Why now? And talk to us about your title, Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age, that assumes something. And then also explain your comparison of the United States to Babel.
Okay,
That too many for
not
one?
too many. Well,
Okay.
probably too many for my 62-year-old brain to remember them all. So I'll go ahead and launch as far as I can into it, then you will guide me through the
Okay.
rest.
All right.
Why I wrote the book is just that I started to feel like I was on the ball field wearing the wrong team colors, running the ball in the wrong direction. That's not a good feeling for somebody who has been radically converted. I didn't ever want to come, I've always wanted to just grow in sanctification until the Lord takes me to glory. And I had started to notice that there were many, many things in my own life that were awry. They were out of order. And I started to notice that after the Obergefell decision. And so let me just kind of back up here that, sins are sin, but sometimes culture has a way of putting things in a stark spotlight.
That's
And
right.
that's really what happened with me. So, I had been a gay rights activist, and I'm one of those people who am radically converted, but I'm the one that's still dragging stuff in and my shoes into the family room. I was certainly starting to see that with some of the positions that I had held in the past around things like conversion therapy, the use of transgender pronouns. And so when the Obergefell decision, that was the 2015 Supreme Court decision that legalized gay marriage in all 50 states. But it also changed the legal definition of harm, and it introduced this idea that LGBTQ plus represents a personhood category, who people are rather than how they feel, or who people are like nationally and significantly, like the Ninevites or
Right,
rather than a sin category. And so I started to realize that some of the conversations I was having, some of the positions I was taking, was leading people in a very strange way. And so what I really did, because after I wrote The Gospel Comes with a House Key, I was just ready to retire. I'm a grandmother. I'm bearing down on my last year of homeschooling. I didn't want to write another book, but I felt like I had to because of a couple of things that happened. And one was that the world was changing, that laws were being passed, that laws were being codified that established the very things I used to promote as a gay rights activist. And so I started to feel like my job wasn't done because I still was seeing thumbprints of my own sin in this world. And the other was, it struck me that Christians were not really ready to defend the gospel on the point of nature. We were ready to defend it on different kind of New Testament points, but we weren't really ready to say, no, male and female are ontological categories. And a man who identifies as gay and a woman who identifies as lesbian isn't a different ontological category. That's still a man with a sin order. That's a woman with an indwelling sin. And furthermore, God isn't some crazy engineer that creates a pattern like male and female without a purpose. And so the purpose to be fruitful and multiply was an ordinance. It's part of what we in the Reformed tradition understand as the creation ordinance. And it struck me that broad evangelicalism had just kind of ramrooted pa right past that to suggest that you could have the gospel without the garden. You could be a New Testament Christian without
Right.
anything from, and so that was the one thing. And then the Obergefell decision, unleashed all kinds of additional laws and policies, Title IX. We saw Bostock following, LGBTQ now part of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. School boards that had now used Title IX, the new definition of Title IX, rather than the old parental rights, all kinds of things were happening, and yet broad evangelicalism continued to march on as though public schools were safe, everything was fine, we just needed to double down on our winsomeness, and I just thought that was crazy, and so. So part of what I wanted to do was write a book that foregrounded three reasons for this problem, that highlighted five lies, and that finally just encouraged parents, especially, and grandparents, to stay connected to their loved ones without becoming indoctrinated.